following contains language of a frank and explicit nature. Discretion is advised.
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Siplicki.
The two of you were under restraining orders to stay away from each other.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Well, you're going to get it now.
Sports Saturday is powered in part by Green City Garage, an environmentally responsible garage in South Burlington, working on all makes and models, specializing in your family's car, truck, or SUV. Top Hat Entertainment, helping you with all your party needs from DJs to inflatables. They have it all. Vermont Mortgage Company, mortgage expertise dedicated to Vermonters. See how easy obtaining the right mortgage can be. And Romanto's Pizza, delivering within a 10-mile radius of Taft Corners.
Taft Corners is in Williston.
Try them for your next wing order, too. 879-1000.
You need to start throwing bombs, baby!
This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Living the dream, baby, living the dream.
We are living the dream, and we're taking you with us. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. I am your host, Jeff Paul. My best buddy, the paunch to my John, Bernie Siplicki. Good morning, my good man.
Good morning.
Dave Hunter, well done on the Sports Center, even though it took a half an hour for you to get through, because you got to put all everything in, you know.
Well,
my God.
You got to have the highlight.
Yeah, you got enough highlights.
Relive the Aaron Boone experience.
802-655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join the conversation. 802-655-6672. Or you can text us on this at the same phone number, 802-655-6672. Can I say that number one more time, Bernie? Should I?
No, let me do it for you. Okay, 802-655-6672.
Attaboy. To the Town
That's
Fair.
That's 802-655-6672.
To the Town Fair Tire text line. You can text us or call us anytime throughout the day. We have some show ahead of us today. It's been a very busy week. And as a fan of New York teams as I am, and Bernie is a big fan, obviously, of the Giants, as we both are, some big news came out of New York this week.
Let's go through the show, please, before we just before we start.
All right. So, well, we do have a pretty jam-packed show. Yes. Obviously, with the Giants benching Eli Manning going into this week. Patricia Traina, senior editor for Inside Football and the Giants beat writer for the Sports Exchange and Bleacher Report. She's going to join us at 10:20, give us some inside information about that. We definitely have some questions. You know, obviously, we've got our own philosophies. We'll talk about that in a little while. Bob Ryan, the great Bob Ryan from the Boston Globe, ESPN TV personality, is going to join us
today. That's a little unnerving, I'm not going to lie.
I know, you're a little antsy, but he's going to join our conversation as well today. We're going to talk Celtics with him. But, you know, the thing about Bob is that we can talk about anything with him. I mean, he is so well-rounded in the world of sports. And with everything going on, we've got big-time NCAA football championships that are going to be named today. We're going to know who's going to be in the playoff going into the holiday season. So it is definitely a big day today for everything, but we're going to talk to those two. And then finally at 11:40, get your fantasy football questions ready. And we all know that if you're into fantasy football, now we're getting near playoffs.
Last week of the regular season,
and I have to win. So here's the thing with me, is if I win, I lock up the number one seed. But if I lose, I potentially could get knocked out of the number one seed and miss the playoffs. Because in the division I'm in, I'm 500, but I'm leading the division by one game. But the team behind me is beating me heads up. In the other division, everybody else is like, you know, 8-whatever or 7-whatever, and I'm sitting in 500.
It's like you're playing in the old NFC East.
Yeah, a lot like that. I have to have I'm a little nervous too. I've got some injury issues. Like, man, it's going to be.
What's wrong with you?
Well, you know, I've got, you know, hamstring, my back's a little sore. Okay. You know, there's a lot of things wrong
with
me.
But you do have a fresh.
I do.
Fresh
I bicked it this morning. I know. I saw you looking.
Bing.
See, I've been trying to hide behind the computer so Dave couldn't see.
The glare is phenomenal.
It's nicely done. It is. Even though I nicked myself again this morning. Fresh, you know, there's nothing better if anyone that shaves their head, or even when you shave your head, you get the fresh razor out of the cartridge.
Yes.
The first couple shaves is just, it's just awesome.
Wonderful.
But, you know, you just start going, you know, like it's no big deal. And then, you know, you feel, you're like, oof, you know, I got myself there. I got myself in my neck, too, but I'll be okay.
Good.
But I didn't get, you know, so again, here's the other thing.
But I, hold on.
Yes.
Sorry. I do have to thank you and Monica.
Yeah.
I got my chili.
You got your chili, too?
Yeah.
I got my chili.
How much did you get?
I got a Tupperware thing that I have to finish and give back.
Now,
I got to give it back.
I have to say this. She made a point to say. So she made last Sunday. She goes, you know what? I'm so sick and tired of listening to him say. I'm so sick of this.
So Monica, thank you so much.
But she also made sure she said she put both of your names on the Tupperware.
Oh yeah.
And she said, I want these back. You make sure you tell those guys, I want them back.
Monica, thank you, and I'm going to get rid of the nagging wife thing that I've been doing on the air.
Oh, there you go, right? Mon. Little chili, and then it's gone.
Never again.
Good. That's good.
No more Don Hoffman?
This one.
Yeah, that one.
We're not going to do that anymore.
Well, I'm just going to tell you, you're going to hear a lot of that if I don't get that Tupperware back. I mean, I've never seen anybody
really?
That loves... I mean, it's just my wife, but she is into this Tupperware. I mean, anytime I bring anything anywhere, it's like, you know, for example, if I bring something in for my employees or I bring a lunch in for myself, I'm telling you right now, Jeff, that Tupperware better be back here.
Well, and it's funny because I see you out in the parking lot, and you're like, here you go, just make sure I get the Tupperware back.
Back okay. immediately. I guess, and I want it washed.
I mean,
I want it back neatly.
I gotta wash it.
How do you get the orange out of the Tupperware? I never.
Yeah. I know.
Ask
Well, maybe. You know how I get it? I just throw it out.
Right.
It's just Tupperware.
But how do? That is a good question.
But there are Tupperware parties. I mean, people have Tupperware, so I think Tupperware is kind of a big deal.
Obviously, Monica's asking for it to come back.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, make sure you get that Tupperware.
So thank you. Sincerely say thank you.
For Christmas, you can just get her Tupperware.
Oh, yeah. She'd really appreciate that.
Yeah.
I thought you were just getting the TV, which looked beautiful.
Another TV?
You know how that works.
Yeah.
You see how the picture I sent
you? That was sweet. Yeah. The Richmond game.
Pretty surprising for me, though. The UVM Richmond game was on. I had just gotten home. I'm like, let me see if I can find this game. And sure enough, boom, there it was.
That's awesome.
It's awesome. And, you know, I got to tell you, that basketball team is something.
And they're not clicking on all cylinders.
Not yet. You can see it.
Yeah, it's so close.
You know, even that game against, you know, and people make it, you know, I heard some people say the Richmond, you know, the University of Richmond, you know, they're a lower A-10 team. I don't care whether you don't know if
they're still A-10. And that team is good.
Exactly.
They have five guys in double figures.
And you don't know if they're a low-ball A-10 team yet. You know, some of these schools play, you know, play big competition early.
Chris from Rutland.
Chris.
Wants to talk golf.
Chris from Rutland wants to talk golf. Good morning, Chris.
I want to talk anything but Tupperware.
Well, you're living my life then, and you understand. I don't want to talk about it either. I simply just told Bernie this morning, like, hey, I just got to get that back. And, of course, he's got to bring it right to the forefront. I just don't want to get beat up when I get home. That's all. You know what I mean? She wants her Tupperware back. Yeah. What's going on today, pal?
Well, listen, I was watching SportsCenter on Friday morning, and I was just a little bit disappointed when they brought up Tiger Woods. I mean, he's big. He's huge. He's back. But it's really disappointing that Tommy Fleetwood's in the lead with Matt Kuchar and Ricky Fowler right behind him, and they get no mention, no highlight, zero. And it's a little frustrating because those guys deserve it. But, you know, Tiger came in after the LeBron story and after the Dak Prescott story and all that. So, and then LeBron James. So that was the order.
Well, that, you know, Chris, that's a great point you make, and I understand that, and I can see where, you know, obviously you're a golf purist, and I can respect that because I'm a golf purist as well, but you have to admit that Tiger Woods coming back into the game, coming back to the PGA Tour adds immediate life to people that may be passive fans of the PGA Tour, and he's winning, and he's playing well. I mean, he was leading that tournament at one point yesterday. That's going to spur an interest, and I mean, and for a tour like the PGA, and I've argued this, Chris, for a long time, and I wonder if you can answer, maybe you can help me out with this, and Bernie, you and I have had this conversation.
Yep.
The PGA Tour back in the day, in the 80s and 90s, was like NASCAR for people. There were so many different personalities out there, and everybody had a favorite golfer, and now, as technology's improved, and as there are so many great players, it's almost as if they all have their own personality, and you're just kind of enjoying watching the game. Bringing Tiger back adds some juice to this situation. That's a bigger deal than who's ever leading this tournament. I think the biggest story is that Tiger's back. That's a big deal for the PGA, and I think it's a big deal for national sports.
I'm not going to disagree with you in terms of that. He's huge for the game. A lot of people like him, and I don't dislike the guy. It's just when I watch SportsCenter, you know, here's the thing. Does ESPN have to spend 10 minutes on Tiger Woods, and that's it?
That's a good
question.
Well, I mean,
I know it's his tournament. There's only 18 other guys.
Right.
But let's at least, you know, show one shot by the other three guys that are in
first place or tied for second.
Well, Chris, and I think it's a great point, but that's really what we're seeing, I think, you know, in terms of that. I think in terms of a lot of things, though, I mean, ESPN, and again, we are an affiliate of ESPN, so, you know, it is what it is. But the point here is that, you know, ESPN likes the big names, and the big names are what they want to talk about. And Tiger is one of the biggest names in the sport, one of the biggest names in the world. And not the fact that he's just back playing, but the fact that he's in contention is a big deal.
It is, and
but I get where Chris is coming from.
Absolutely, and Chris is spot on, you know. But it's almost like when Michael Jordan decided to come back to the NBA, you're not seeing a highlight of anybody else.
Yeah.
You're seeing it all about Tiger, and I think he is right. Those other guys that are playing and that are in contention should get a small slice of the pie. But
I agree with you in that capacity. Yeah, you can mention it, but him coming back and being in contention it's humongous.
Right.
And it's big for a lot of different reasons. It's not just big for the fact that, you know, it's a big name coming back, but the PGA Tour needs Tiger Woods to come back. It's a big deal. And like you said, when Michael came back, that's a big deal for the NBA.
Yep.
So I agree with what he's saying there, but the fact, if Tiger came back and was, you know, shot 10 over,
but they'd still cover it.
They'd cover it, but I'm sure you'd hear more. But the fact that he was in contention, close to the lead, I mean, that's
right.
A big deal.
Because they're going
to
show all the great shots he's hit.
Exactly.
If he's going, you know, 10 over, then, you know, they're showing a couple of the blips, but maybe they're giving a little more love to the other people who are in contention.
And I agree. And I mean, and to Chris's point, I mean, you know, these guys that are, I mean, the Matt Kuchers, and
guys are unbelievable.
They're unbelievable. And I will say that over the last couple of years, I really like some of the new personalities that have come out on the PGA Tour. I think there are some strong personalities. You're starting to see that people are kind of separating a little bit. But I got to tell you, like, I get, you know, Dustin Johnson and Jordan Spieth and all those guys, the guys at the top level of the game. None of these players compare to the personalities that were on the PGA Tour in the 80s and 90s, even earlier than that, when you go back to the Lee Trevinos and the Chichi Rodriguez. I mean, there have been the PGA Tour was really must-see TV, and everybody had a favorite team, had a favorite player, a lot like NASCAR fans are. But nowadays, they're kind of all morphed into this very focused, not a lot of personality.
Well, because everybody's so good.
I agree with you.
I totally agree with you.
You would probably... I think I'm probably a little bit more of a golf fan than you would be, but you would say you were a pass-by golf fan. My question to you is,
Watching Tiger.
Exactly. That's my point.
Yes.
So you're definitely going to watch Tiger. But Tiger Woods comes back to the PGA Tour and he's in contention. You're swinging through a Sunday afternoon, going through, and all of a sudden you see Tiger teeing off on the seventh hole somewhere.
I'm in.
You're in. And that's the point right there.
So and if there's nobody else, you know, if he's not playing, okay, I'll check back closer to hole 16, 17 just to
see
what's going on. But I want to watch every shot Tiger takes.
And let's face it, I mean, when you, and most of these guys, I mean, they're like all the same player. They all hit the ball a zillion miles, you know, miles. I mean, they pound. They're all great putters. They all have great short games. I mean, they're all great players. But the problem here is that we just don't, and I don't think in the PGA Tour, we don't have that one guy that you just, everybody rally, whether you love him or you hate him.
Who is the face of the PGA Tour?
It's still Tiger Woods.
Exactly.
It's been Tiger Woods, and he hasn't been on the
right, but I'm saying when he wasn't playing, who stepped in and was truly the face of the PGA?
Nobody.
Exactly.
It's still Tiger Woods.
Exactly.
It was Tiger Woods when he was out.
Yes.
I mean, that's the point. And
right.
So now that he's back, it brings a little bit back. And I will say this, Tiger Woods coming back and being competitive, all of a sudden makes you think, wow, this is going to be fun to watch Jordan Spieth have to compete with the great Tiger Woods, or the Dustin Johnson have to compete with the great Tiger Woods. It brings a whole new meaning to it. And I think it also, you know, and for some people that, you know, he's pretty polarizing, you would say, Tiger Woods is. So you're either going to love him or you're going to hate him. You're either going to be rooting for him or you're not going to be rooting for him, you know?
Like Aaron Boone, but
we'll get into that later.
We'll get into that. And Geno Smith, which...
Yeah. I know we have to take a break in a
minute. Because you got your wish.
You got your wish.
Oh,
come on.
We're
going to get into that. We are definitely getting into that. But first, we're going to talk to Patrice Trainer. It's not that I got my wish.
You got your wish.
I did not get my wish.
Yes, you did.
I did get my wish. But look.
You got your wish. Thank you.
Oh, I'm going to own you when
these
things
come. No way.
I am going to own you.
Absolutely.
I got my point ready to go.
That's fine.
You're lucky we're going to break. We'll be right back.
Golic and Wingo take you to work. The Huddle drives you home.
Football is played on a gridiron in a stadium.
This is 101.3 ESPN. Another day of sports talk in the Champlain Valley.
You know the way you guys do about my head, whatever, you know? And so...
What about you? Have you ball?
It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Football! I did want to make a point before we go to our guest, which is very important. That my wife just texted me and said, it's not Tupperware, it's Snapware, Burn.
Oh, snap to that. Yeah. I'll bring it back.
So, you know, that you better get that back. Okay. ASAP. All right, listen.
Sorry, sorry, Monica.
Big news down in Jersey this week as the New York Giants have benched legendary football quarterback Eli Manning for Geno Smith. And who better to talk to than our good friend here on the TikTok Drew's Guest Line, senior editor for Inside Football and the Giants beat writer for the Sports Exchange and the Bleacher Report. Patricia Traina joins us live here on Sports Saturday. Good morning, Patricia.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're good.
I'm not good, Patricia. I won't lie.
Patricia, I guess we'll get right into it because I know you're busy. It's been a crazy season for you guys down there. What's going on? And what's going on with the Giants right now?
I'm not sure anybody knows, to be honest with you guys. It's just been an absolute wild and surreal season. I mean, from the record that nobody expected. I mean, this was a team that came into the preseason with a loaded roster, high expectations, and now here we are, 2-9. I mean, who saw that coming? And certainly, who saw the removal of Eli Manning coming? And you know, just the way this unfolded, you know, we call it a benching, but actually, what it kind of is. It was a plan presented to Eli Manning to play half of a game and then come out for either Geno Smith, well, in Geno Smith in this case, and I guess down the line, Davis Webb. And I personally think that, you know, I'm not surprised that Eli rejected it, because basically I call it a preseason plan. And for them to think that Eli, especially after 14, you know, knowing what you have from Eli over 14 years, for him to accept such a cockamamie plan is, you know, I'm surprised that they're surprised.
But Patricia, let me ask this question. The football team is 2-9. Eli Manning for the last couple, I mean, I guess you can give him, last year was a decent year for the Giants in terms of wins and losses, but Eli has not been an elite quarterback. I could argue that he hasn't been an elite quarterback for a long time, but he hasn't this year. If you're watching him play, I mean, he has not played well. The team is out of the playoffs. They're 2-9. He's 37 years old. And the Giants basically say to him, look, you know, this is not where we expected ourselves to be, but this is where we are today. And they say, look, you know, we want to get a look at some of these quarterbacks. And he says, oh, I'm not playing. I mean, to think that the Giants gave him that option, what exactly should the Giants have done?
Well, let's clarify something here, guys. No, Eli Manning hasn't been playing well, but look at what's around him. I mean, come on, let's be fair here. He has an offensive line that's been inconsistent, and right now has a two rookie start, or, you know, inexperienced starters, I should say, on the right side there. Okay, he's got no receivers. You know, he lost Odell Beckham Jr., so he's got guys on at receiver who weren't even good enough to make an NFL roster coming out of training camp, and who weren't picked up even after they were let go. He's got a running game that scares nobody. You know, his tight ends, okay, Evan Ingram has promise, but he's had a slump the last couple of weeks where he's dropped balls all over the place. So really, you know, how can Eli Manning be expected to do anything when he's had to work with this, you know, mix of a mismatch parts all season? I mean, let's be fair to the guy. I mean, yes, he has to play better. You know, some of the decisions he makes, you know, he hasn't been perfect. And then you add to that the play calling fiasco, you know, with the coach, you know, with some head scratching calls inside the red zone. You add to that, you know, points being left off the board because the coach decided to go for it. And really, how do you say, oh, this is on Eli Manning? You just can't.
Patricia, all I can say is thank you.
Oh, come on.
Because I am devastated about this whole benching and scenario. And my question is, will Eli Manning be on the New York Giants roster next year?
I think there is a possibility, but let me just point two points I want to make here. Number one, I don't know that he will be here if Ben McAdoo is back. My gut feeling is that it'll come down to one or the other. Will Eli be back if Ben is not here? Well, we don't know. If Ben is let go at the end of this year, we still don't know who the new head coach will be. We don't even know if there's going to be a new general manager. But with that said, there is a possibility, and I will point you back to the 1990s when the Giants went through a similar situation with Phil Simms, another legendary quarterback in the franchise. If you remember, Ray Hanley went, you know, and I think it was in his first year as head coach, told Phil Simms, you and Jeff Hostetler are going to take turns, and I'm going to decide who my starter is. And Phil Simms basically told him, nope, if that's how you feel, then go ahead and start Jeff. So Phil kind of benched himself, if you will. Now, after, you know, the franchise suffered through the Ray Hanley era, Dan Reeves came in, and he basically went to Phil, and he said, you're my guy. And he was able to repair that bridge. So there is a possibility that, again, if the Giants decide to go in another direction at head coach, that the next head coach will say, you know what, I want Eli Manning. You know, because, look, guys like Eli Manning are rare. You are not going to find a guy that sits there, that doesn't throw people under the bus, that you know, devotes basically every waking minute of his life to the game, to getting better, to helping the teammates. You're just not going to find a guy with his credentials. And I think any head coach would be lucky to have him and have him, you know, be involved with that with the offense.
There is absolutely no question at all that Eli Manning isn't a great professional, that Eli Manning is not a great teammate, and that Eli Manning has not been a very good to great Giant, especially for the two moments in the Super Bowl. But you still, and Patricia, I'm not arguing with you, and Bernie, my buddy over here,
he's a hater.
But there has still got to be a point where you say to Eli, look, it isn't working. Now, we make excuses for Eli, and fair enough. Like, I can't defend, though, the offensive line is a mess. I get the wide receiver problem, but Eli had a hard time scoring points with the elite wide receivers he had last season. I mean, I know that he hasn't had the greatest team around him a lot over the last few years, but he definitely has plenty of weapons, and Eli misses a lot of throws. I guess my point being is, for a guy that is the kind of guy you're saying, and he is, the stories that I've heard about practice this week working with the with Davis Webb is spectacular, and we know what kind of person he is. I think he's got he's one of the best character guys ever to play the game. But my question is, at 2-9, with the situation that they have around him, and the Giants are basically saying, listen, we got to take a look at some of these other quarterbacks where, you know, you're getting killed out there. What are you saying? He kind of backs away. Are you kind of surprised he did that, to not understand where the Giants are right now?
No, I'm not. And the reason why I say that is, number one, I'll be the first to admit that I said at some point, you know, they should take a look at Davis Webb. And John Mara even said they should take a look and see what they have in Davis Webb. But the way I understood things to have gone down, and again, this is just my interpretation based on what, you know, the quotes that we got from the team officials and whatnot, is that Eli was basically told, this is what the plan's going to be. He wasn't consulted. It wasn't, I think if they had gone to him and said, hey, Eli, look, we want to take a look at Davis. We want to take a look at Geno, which, you know, Geno, supposedly they had all this film on Geno Smith, so I'm really not sure quite what they want to take a look at, you know, because the offense that they're running is somewhat similar to what Geno ran early in his career with the Jets, but that's neither here nor there. But, you know, they should have given Eli, in my opinion, they should have given him the courtesy of, Eli, we want to take a look at the younger guys. What do you think? What do you see as making sense? I think they owed that much to him, and given all he's done and whatnot. And I would have been stunned if Eli had said, you know what, the heck with it. I want it all. It's all or nothing. I think he would have said, you know, well, you know, let's play. And if the game gets out of control one way or another, you know, I'll take a seat if you want to take a look at these guys. Because here's what John Mara said, and I'm going to paraphrase here. He said, we may not be able to tell as much as we'd like to know about Davis and Geno, but some snaps are better than none. So you mean to tell me you couldn't have maybe set up a situation where they got mop-up snaps? I mean, from a coaching perspective, I know there's no guarantees that there's going to be mop-up snaps. But given the way they've been playing, it's probably a safe bet to say that there's going to be some lopsided games going through the rest of the year.
Patricia, how emotional was it? It looked like he was very emotional at his locker when he came out and kind of broke the news. How emotional was that?
It was very emotional. I mean, if you stood there and you saw that and your heart didn't break for him, then you don't have a heart. I mean, this is a guy who has poured every ounce of his being into helping that franchise, into representing that franchise. And the best comparison I can make is that he is the Yankees version of Derek Jeter. I mean, Derek Jeter was a beloved figure for the Yankees. I mean, he's a legend and he's mortal in the eyes of Yankee fans. And I think Eli Manning is going to go down in that same sentence with Derek Jeter as being immortal and just a beloved figure for years to come.
So who survives, in your opinion, after the season is over?
You mean of Eli and McAdoo? Or
Eli, McAdoo, Reese.
Everybody.
Everybody. What?
Everybody.
Is it a clean sweep, or is it hit the reset button, or does somebody still exist after this putrid season is over?
My guess is Jerry Reese is probably out. Jerry Reese has had 10 years now?
Yep.
To put together a body of work. And you look at that body of work, you look at the drafts that they have missed out on, that have put this organization in a hole. You look at the management of the cap as a result of those missed drafts. You know, and I always point to, you know, the signings that they made a couple of years ago, where they basically swapped out, Prince Mukamara for Janoris Jenkins. Olivier Vernon took the place of Demontre Moore, who flamed out with this team, and Damon Harrison, who was, you know, took the spot that Marvin Austin was supposed to represent. So that has caused them to have to overspend to get guys on mulligans. And as a result, now you can't re-sign the Linville Josephs of the world. You can't, you know, you got to sit here and sweat if you're going to get Odell Beckham Jr. done and Landon Collins done and Justin Pugh done. So it's just not a good scenario. And it's also left them with limited cap space that they're going to have to now make some other tough decisions that are going to have a ripple effect. So it's really a mess. And that unfortunately falls on Jerry Reese. He's in charge of putting that roster together. He didn't address the offensive line. And you know, I don't see how you can keep him on after this. With Ben, I'd be stunned at this point. You know, there was not too long ago, I want to say a week and a half ago, I was on the fence with Ben. I was like, okay, well, maybe you give him another opportunity given the talent around him. You know, because, again, like I said earlier, the talent hasn't been the best. But with that said, you look at how Ben has communicated. You look at the problems he's had in the locker room. I mean, other than, you know, I think the Cowboys, who had multiple suspensions, and that was a result of the players violating various league policies, can you think of any team that has had multiple disciplinary suspensions in one season? I can't off the top of my head. So that's a problem. And I just don't know that, you know, Ben, he's learning on the job, but my biggest concern coming in with him was his communication skills, his communication with the media, his communication with the players. And it's just, you know, even John Mara kind of alluded to that a bit when he said, when he was asked, could Bennett present this a little differently? And he even said something, and I'm paraphrasing, that's not his strong suit. So, I mean, yeah. I just don't see how you keep him.
Patricia, great insight as always. Have a great holiday season, and hopefully we can talk to you again down the road.
Absolutely, guys. You too.
Thank you.
Listen, she makes great points, and I understand the emotional end of this. And listen, I'm coming off, and I feel like, you know, we're arguing like I'm not a Giants fan. I'm a huge Giants fan.
Yes, you are.
I love the Giants.
Yes,
I live and die with them. I can't, you know, it's driving me crazy. But let me just give you a little stat here, okay? 67-92 is Eli Manning's record in the last 9 seasons.
Right.
With Jerry Reese
not doing a good job with the personnel.
But we keep making excuses for him, Bernie. Like, that's the point. Now, if the Giants walked up to Eli and said, this is what we're doing, whether you like it or not, I get that. Eli Manning deserves the respect to say,
about the change. It's about how the change went about.
Fair enough.
My biggest gripe.
Fair enough. If that's the case, fine. But in terms of benching Eli Manning, look.
It needed to happen.
Joe Montana was benched. Johnny Unitas was benched, and he's nowhere near that level. Nowhere near that level. Two iconic throws, two great moments in Giants history. They were a long time ago.
Hater.
I'm not a hater. I'm not. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. I got another couple of things I'm griping about the NFL about.
Okay.
We're going to talk about that when we come back.
Another day of sports talk in the Champlain Valley.
We are Sports Saturday here.
We are awful.
Jeff Paul, Bernie Siplicki. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
855-6672 if you want to join the conversation. 802-655-6672. 6672. Or you can text us on the Town Fair Tire text line to the same number, 655-6672. If you're outside the area, 802 first. You know, look, you and Patricia, I get it. You know, I mean, it's a sad moment, and I understand it. As a Giant fan, it's a sad moment for me, too. Even I was emotional with it. And I understand if benching him, the way they went about doing it, that's, you know, you got to, he's Eli Manning. Regardless what you think of him, regardless of what his record is, regardless of what he's been the last 5, 6, 7 years, he's still been the face of your franchise for, since 2000, well, essentially, well, basically since the day they drafted him.
Right.
When you're drafted number one, you were drafted, obviously, by San Diego.
The trade,
you know, you're the number one draft pick. I mean, you're the guy. You know, you've been that way. You've been this guy since day one. You've got this record. You got this 210 straight games he's played. He started. Yeah. It's going to come to an end this week. I get all that. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, we are saying the same thing. Like, I am the ultimate Eli apologist, you know, to the dying end.
Yeah.
I've always said I wanted to be the fourth Manning brother. I love that family. And it's not about, you know, the way they went about it wasn't great. But right. The question is, why Geno Smith?
Exactly.
Why not go to the rookie?
I agree with you. And I put that out on Facebook the night that when this came out, that, look, I'm all for this. I'm all for him sitting down. The team, especially when you're mathematically eliminated, yeah. You're bad. But why would you go to Geno Smith? I mean why is he the guy you choose?
Or okay, if you need a sample, because Webb is going to be inactive this week again.
That's just what I don't get.
So play Eli two more weeks and then let Webb ride out the last three
or
games.
Or just let Webb play these next five games. Like, look, you drafted. What was Webb, a third-round pick?
Yeah.
We're just saying.
I mean, like, if what's the difference? What's two more weeks if you're going to play him the last 3 weeks or 4 weeks or 5 weeks? Let him learn on the job. Let's see what we got.
We know what Geno is. I mean, look, I'm not saying that Geno Smith, I don't care if Geno Smith goes out tomorrow and throws 300 yards.
We have enough tape on Geno.
We know what Geno Smith is, but here's the problem that I have with the decision that's just been made. You want at least a sample size, and maybe three games would be enough sample size to know what's going to happen with this quarterback. But if you're out of contention, you're 2-9, you sit Eli, you play the kid for five games. Because if you lose these games, and you're probably going to lose all these games, you're looking at 2-14. You're either going to be 1, 2, or 3, and you're going to have a choice of picking one of these quarterbacks. And don't you want to know whether you really need one of these quarterbacks or not?
The only question that you could reference, and Patricia touched on it, is how bad the parts are around. Is it fair to that rookie?
Oh, please.
Give me a break. What do you mean, give me a break?
Give me a break. So I don't want to hear about these parts. The parts are bad. This is bad.
They
may be bad in terms of being able to win games, Bernie. But listen, Eli's not getting sacked.
We're not talking about Eli.
I'm just making my point. The point is that this is still an NFL roster. Okay, and it is a bad one. But now you're going to tell, what if Davis Webb has to be the guy next year and they still have the same type of roster that you just heard they have cap problems? They're still professional football players. Let them go out there and play. And at least you're going to get a real sense of who he really is with bad personnel around him. We keep making the excuse for Eli. Look at those wide receivers.
We're not talking about Eli.
I'm just making the point, though. Like, the reason every time I bring up Eli's stats, we got to go back to like the people that are around him. Okay, fair enough. Maybe they aren't good enough. But maybe Davis Webb can go out there and show you that he's athletic enough to get out of the pocket.
Good.
That he's strong enough to get a ball and to hit the person that he's supposed to hit. To hit people on the run. Exactly.
But
That's my point.
So the question is now, what's the difference between week whatever 13 right. and week 15?
Why is he inactive?
And
if you're gonna bench Eli, if you're gonna sit Eli,
and
you're basically gonna move it, fine. And you're gonna do it now. Then if that's the decision you make, you do it today. You're gonna do it this week,
right.
And let him play.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Let Geno back him up. Let Eli post up.
We actually agree, even though we're giving each other a hard time. Or I'm giving you a hard time.
No, I totally agree with it.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's move on here with the NFL. I don't know.
We're like the Giants. Let's move on.
I know people get mad. We talking about the Giants all the time. And I understand because they're a bad football team, but this is pretty pertinent stuff.
Why don't we talk about the Rams?
Nobody wants to talk about that.
Who are they?
The Rams.
I tell you, I like that football team. But let me get this, Brian, because I have a question for you. I don't know if you've noticed the last few weeks in the NFL, but there have been a lot of fights, like a lot of like hockey fights on the gridiron.
The one in Oakland was unreal.
And let's talk about that. This is my problem with the NFL. I can't remember a season where I've seen so many literal, like, everything shuts down and there is a big brawl in the middle of the field. And last week in the raid, I was watching the game.
That was crazy.
It was nuts. So Michael Crabtree and Aqib Talib had a little history. I guess Talib had ripped off his gold chain at one point, this huge chain he had around his neck the last time they had played.
Why do they get to wear chains in the NFL?
Who knows?
Okay.
It's kind of, why would you? They're probably expensive. You don't want to get it ripped off.
I understand, but you know, if they fine people for how high their socks used to be,
they get to wear gold chains.
But anyways, I'm sorry.
So he rips it off a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and now something happens again. They get in this amazing fight, like bobbing and weaving.
And he has his helmet off.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, they both get you know, kicked out of the game. All right. But here's the thing. They kicked out of the game, and then later on, they put a camera up on one of the luxury suites, and there's Michael Crabtree, feet up, eating something, laughing and joking with his kids. Everybody's having a good time. I have no idea what they fined them. I can't imagine the fine, and I probably should have looked this up, but I didn't. I'm sure they fined him something. It was probably, he just pulled it out of his billfold and said, here you go. Yeah. They give him initially a 2-game suspension for this literal, like, WWE fight in the middle of the field. And then they reverse him. They both get 1 game.
Yeah, I don't get the ruling, and especially with Talib and his history.
Yeah.
I'm just shocked after that.
Go ahead.
I'm saying I'm going to give a little bit of a benefit to the doubt to Crabtree. I'm saying Talib should have been suspended more. But supposedly, and this is just stuff that I read on the play before the melee, Crabtree popped another cornerback on Denver. And, you know, that set this whole thing off. But it's just, you're playing a game. Just play a game.
And see, for me, him doing that, you know, obviously nobody saw on TV. Right. That should be a 2-game suspension and pay. You get in a fight like that, you should be, truthfully, I think, what is happening with this league? This league is turning into, it's almost to me, it's turned into this like soap opera every week. It's like turning into the WWF Raw that I used to watch when I was a kid.
You don't watch it anymore?
No, I don't watch it anymore.
Come on, man.
Listen, no more Hulk Hogan, no more Ric Flair.
That's the bottom line, baby.
No more Rock. I mean, I'm out with that.
Okay.
But I just don't understand. And it's not
You're not a John Cena guy?
No. I mean, I shouldn't say that I've never really watched it.
Oh, he's good.
You know?
Okay.
But remember Kamala the Ugandan Giant?
Oh,
he was like my favorite guy. I used to love that
Kamala.
Guy. Yeah, he was the man. But my point is that this isn't just one moment, though. This happened in the Jacksonville Bengals game a couple weeks ago with AJ Green.
That was crazy.
I believe San Francisco, it happened in the same. I mean, this is happening week after week after week. And so not only now do you have to watch the ridiculousness of a product that's not very good in terms of football skill. You don't, you know, the tackling is poor. The technical aspect, I think, is pretty average at times. I mean, I like college football is
even
more entertaining.
Even the officiating.
The officiating is atrocious. You don't know what's this and what's that every week. And you can always tell when, you know, one of the super teams are playing that there's going to be some call made down. It's like watching. Remember that when we were kids, every time on Saturdays, they used to have the roller derby.
Oh, I loved it.
The T-Birds.
Yeah.
And the T-Birds were like, everybody loved the T-Birds. And even when the T-Birds weren't doing well, they were going to find a way to get it done. Something was going to happen to win. That's what the NFL is now. You know, you watch the game, you know, the teams that are supposed to win, you know, there's going to be the teams that are good every year. They're going to get that call. Something's going to happen in a game that's going to determine them finding a way to win. And I'm not trying to be a person that thinks that these things are fixed. I don't think anything's fixed, but it's just not entertaining. And now we got to watch brawls in the middle of the field. I mean, what is this? Like, what is this product? What is happening to this product?
Great question. You know, it's not as much fun to watch, and maybe we're just even more sour because our team is so bad, and we have to watch Geno Smith this Sunday.
Oh,
and you know, it just is. I just don't understand the consistent inconsistency of the discipline of these players when situations occur. I just don't get it.
Yeah, and me either. I don't understand how anyone that runs the league can look at this and say, this is all good. We're going to suspend you for 1 week and we're going to move on with our lives. I mean, you need, there's a, because it's
well,
it's only going to get worse.
It was 2 weeks and then the Players Association, like.
What? Oh, yeah, they fought it.
And it went to one. I just.
But that's
one game for that brawl?
Can you imagine? But that's what I think that's what it happens for all these brawls. And it's like, that's no big deal.
Well, AJ Green didn't even get suspended.
Right. He was playing the next week.
Right. Mike Evans in Tampa Bay, he got suspended for
that, and that was a I mean, that was dangerous, but he did. I mean, that was like out of nowhere.
But that was only one game.
I know. That's what I'm saying. And it's only going to get worse. I mean, because the other thing is the punishment. So say one or two games. I don't think they're hitting them hard enough in the. You got to do something to warrant them not to want to do it again. You know what I'm saying?
But, but those are the, like, it's not stars, but those are A.J. Green. You're going to a game to watch him.
Of course. So
Mike Evans.
You're going to a game to watch him. Michael Crabtree. Keep Tlaib.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can't suspend the stars.
That's right.
But I got to tell you. I mean, what are we doing?
What happens if you punch Tom Brady?
Oh.
Huh? You're banned.
Yeah.
You're going to the CFL.
Yeah, exactly. You're coming. You have to do this show with us. That's what happens.
No, that would be a brutal punishment.
I'm just saying, I really don't understand. I truly don't. I don't understand what's happening in the NFL in terms of what we're watching on a week-to-week basis. I used to not be able to wait to watch NFL, and if it wasn't for fantasy football, Bernie, I mean this with all sincerity, and the fact that I'm a big Giants fan, I'd be watching HGTV with my wife. We'll be right back.
Jeff Paul.
It's my quarterback.
Bernie Siplicki. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
So, Dave, I have a guy. The few nights that you can't be down at the bar, you know, everybody knows you're the big bouncer down there at ESOX.
Greeter, whatever.
Greeter with a taser. On those nights that you need off, I got a guy that can fill in for you.
Yeah.
Everybody needs to Google this cat and watch this video.
A cat?
No. I just mean it's a figure of speech.
Oh,
you know, like yeah, that's cool cat, cool guy.
Gotcha.
This guy.
Oh,
what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna read this. A hulking Ukrainian Superman gives new meaning to the term "hard as nails" in a remarkable video to surface online. Excuse my pronunciation here, but Dmytro Kaladzihi performs extraordinary feats of strength, including bending a metal rod with his teeth and carrying a full-grown horse. The Ukrainian strongman and former circus performer, 38, also deadlifts a saloon car and allows a truck to run him over.
Wow.
Little is known about the Eastern European giant, but a dubious Wikipedia page dedicated to him claims he holds 63 Guinness Book of World Records records. They include lifting a 335-pound stone with one hand, binding six 20-centimeter nails in 90 seconds, and laying down on a bed of nails while three concrete blocks that weigh over 1,500 pounds each are smashed with a sledgehammer over his chest.
Oh, yeah, I'd want a drink at that place.
I watched the video, you guys, of this. He actually takes nails with his hand and piece of wood, puts the nail and hits it with his fist till the nail goes in, and then just punches the nail into the wood. This is a Superman.
That's got to hurt.
Of course it hurts, but not this guy. This is the biggest dude I've ever seen. You got to check that guy out. So,
did you send me the video?
I'll send you the video in a minute. I can't be talking and doing that at the same time. I don't know how to do all that. But the video's a little long. I saw it on the New York Post earlier this week. It's a little bit long, but man, it's worth every minute watching it. He picks up this horse on his back. He's walking down the street with this horse.
Like a full-grown horse?
A full-grown horse on his back. And he's got these two cars that are
How did the horse, like...
The horse kind of was just chilling out. After a while, the horse kind of moved and he fell down, but he's carrying a horse, man. That's no joke.
No, no kidding.
No joke at all.
Dave, did you ever carry a horse?
No.
No. You would carry like a kitty cat maybe around. Not even a puppy dog.
Well, I did have an experience with a horse one time, if you would like to.
We'd rather not hear about that.
That's okay.
All right, David. Sports Center time, buddy.
You think I am a senator? What, we want to do Sports Center?
I have nothing else to say after you.
Right.
Nothing.
Let's do it. This hour, SportsCenter is not being brought to you by ESOX, 194 Main Street across from the Divorce Court in Burlington. Ross Colton scored two goals midway through the third period, helping the Vermont men's hockey team earn a 2-2 tie against Maine last night in Orono. UVM trailed 2-0 going into the final period. Stefanos Likas had 41 saves for the Cats. The tie snapped a four-game Hockey East losing streak for Vermont, who is now 4-9-2 overall and 1-5-2 in Hockey East play. The Cats and Black Bears do it again tonight. Puck drops at 5 o'clock. UVM women's basketball team lost their fourth straight last night, 64-49 to Ryder. Hannah Krimble led the way for the Cats with 26 points and 9 rebounds. The loss moved UVM to 2-6 on the early season. While the win for Ryder was their first of the season, they are now 1-6. And the UVM men's basketball team is on the court again tonight at Bucknell. The high-flying Cats are fresh off a win in the Atlantic 10, University of Richmond beating them earlier this week. Vermont brings their 6-1 record to Lewisburg to face the Bisons, who are 3-5. You can hear all the action right here at 101.3 ESPN. Coverage starts at 6:30. And in Major League Baseball news last night, reports came in that the Yankees will name Aaron Boone as their new manager. Boone, a former third baseman for the Yankees who hit an iconic game-winning home run in extra innings in the 2003 ALCS against the Red Sox. Boone recently worked as a color commentator for ESPN Baseball Broadcast. Here is Michael Kay.
This is quite an undertaking. It really is, and it's a gamble on the Yankees' part. But if you're going to gamble on somebody, you gamble on somebody like Aaron Boone. He's a great person. He obviously has a baseball lineage, second to none. He's been in clubhouse since he was born, and he gets the game. He gets the analytics part of it. I think he's going to be able to respond and relate to the front office and to the players.
Upper body injury.
Getting you ready for game day.
Now I really end this combat.
Yeah, but the show got a lot better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Oh, this is my cue to come back. I didn't know what was going on here for a minute.
Like,
I thought it was like a commercial. I thought you hit a commercial button
or
something.
Black out when you hear money.
Oh, man, yeah, because I don't have any. Interesting news last night, Bernie. Game of baseball.
Why? Why do the Yankees do this on a Friday night? Like, you know, it's like all during the summer, I dread Friday night baseball.
Oh, yeah.
And now they do this on Friday. Why couldn't they have done this like...
Well, I mean, what's the big deal? I mean, it's news.
Because now, yeah, but now I have to listen to you guys.
Well, I mean,
what? Come on, man.
The Yankees last night. If you're just finding out, the Yankees have. It's not official yet, but it looks like the Yankees are going to name Aaron Boone their new manager, taking over Joe Girardi, a baseball team that's coming off one game. They were one game away from the World Series.
Twice.
Yeah. So, brand new manager Aaron Boone. Interesting pick, I think, if you're the Yankees. No managerial experience. Played 1 year. The truth be told, Aaron Boone, if it wasn't for Aaron Boone, there would be Alex Rodriguez would have never been a Yankee. Think about that for a minute.
Hmm.
So you know the story there, right?
No.
So Aaron Boone comes off the 2003 season. It's the iconic home run to beat the Red Sox. You think that Aaron Boone's going to be the next Yankees third baseman forever just because of that moment. Aaron Boone goes out that winter and plays some pickup basketball and blows his knee out.
Oh, yeah.
And he's out for the season. So all of a sudden right there, now the Yankees are panicking. There's nobody behind them. And that's when they got really hard. They got really into picking up Alex Rodriguez. And that's how that all came to fruition. You wonder if that never happened, if A-Rod would have ever been a Yankee.
How much money we would have saved.
Yeah, well, just think about that.
They would have saved.
Yeah, and that may have, you know, I'll tell you something else. That probably would have been it. Boston would have been A-Rod would have been a Red Sox. Because without the Yankees' interest in A-Rod, I think it was done. If you watch and you hear what went on behind the scenes, it was close anyway.
Right.
But without the Yankee involvement there, he would have been a Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, I guess I'm all right with that.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I mean.
That's why I love basketball.
That's why you love basketball. Well, look.
Another reason.
If you can say what you want about A-Rod, and I get all that. I had a really good conversation with a good friend of mine that owns a business behind the business that I own with my friend. And she hates A-Rod. She hates him no matter what.
She a Yankee fan?
Oh, yeah, big Yankee. She hates A-Rod. And I was saying, this is before I moved here, I would have loved it if they named A-Rod the manager. I think that would have been great. I think Alex Rodriguez would be a great... Oh, I think he'd be a great manager. Especially there. Oh, yeah, he's great. I mean, people love him the players love him in the clubhouse. Telling you, he can communicate. I think he knows baseball. I think he'd be a great manager. I get all the things he did. I understand all that. Terrible. I get all that.
Okay.
And all that's behind him now. I think he's owned what he's done. I think, you know, he's paid his price. I'm telling you, he'd be a great manager. I would have been all for it if they named Alex Rodriguez manager of the Yankees. And you talk about bring back the evil empire.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Why would they have hated us?
With all that being said,
are you happy with this decision?
Yeah, I think I am. You know, I think I am.
Well, who else were they even considering?
Henley Bam Bam Mullins, who is a bench coach. Yep. So he's a former Yankee, but he's been the bench coach. I don't know if he's been a bench coach or the hitting coach in San Francisco for a long time.
Okay.
Carlos Beltran. I thought that's where they were going.
Spanish-speaking.
Because the last few days, it's been all Carlos Beltran, and it sounded like everything was going towards that.
He did the thumbs down thing in a press conference.
I don't know.
Yeah,
what you're talking about.
The thumbs down, the Yankee.
Yeah, for the
oh, he did new, that. Oh, that's what
yeah.
Beltran
just oh, he's yeah, our he guy.
It, yeah. Well, and to be you know transparent, the media thought it was too. There was a lot of momentum going that way that it was going to be Carlos Beltran, but. I think with who's out there, I kind of like it. He's young. He's got a great personality. You know, he's got great lineage. You know, his father, Bob, was a great manager with Kansas City. And I think with the Angels for a while. I mean, I don't have that in front of me. But, yeah, we'll see. I mean, I think the Yankees needed a young guy that can relate to some of these young players. And we'll see how it plays out. But it'll be interesting to see. I mean, the Red Sox have Alex Cora, a rookie manager. The Yankees have a rookie manager in Aaron Boone. You know, Buck Showalter must be thinking like, well, I get to match up wits with some of these young guys in Baltimore, but it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Or even Terry Francona in Cleveland.
Well, yeah. Or, you know, but he's not in the American League East.
That's true.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. All right.
The other thing I wanted to talk to you about is, so Derek Jeter now owns the Marlins.
Yeah.
And boy, is he getting bad press now. They're hating what he's doing.
But it's Derek Jeter even as the player. You either loved him or you hate him.
Really? No, that's not true.
Yes.
That is not true. Most Red Sox fans will tell you, every Red Sox fan I know that I know has put him up to me and said, you know, I hate the Yankees, but I've always liked Derek Jeter. Yeah.
You respect him, but you don't. Right. I'm saying, right. But either way, you want to see him
But
fail.
What do you want him to do? He's taken over an organization that is putrid. You have a contract with Giancarlo Stanton that's ridiculously huge. I think it's a 13-year contract. You're the new guy in town. You're trying to build a champion. You know what you have to do. And there's only one story out there that you never know is fake news or not. But it's somebody. There was some scout in their system that supposedly Jeter fired. That you know that's very ill. I mean, I don't know if that's true or not. If that's the case, come on, Jeter. But you know, the point is like, what is it you want him to do? I mean, he's you know, so what? He's going in and cleaning house. That's what new ownership does.
Right.
You know, so it's like, what are you getting into him for?
Because it gives somebody a chance to tear down to build back up.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like if you take over an organization like the Marlins,
I mean the writers to be able to tear down Derek Jeter.
But it's like, how do you take these guys seriously? Like what is it you want him to do? You want him to just does he want the team to flounder for the next 13, 14 years? The albatross that is Giancarlo Stanton, who's a great player. You'd love to have him on your team, but you're not going to win with him. You can't afford anybody else. I guess they wanted to get their. I was reading an article the other day that the Marlins want to be at like $80 million for their pay. That's where they want their cap to be. You got to get rid of Stanton. It looks like it's going to happen. It looks like it definitely, something's going to happen there. But
where does he end up?
Well,
Dodgers?
I would have not. I think it's going to be St. Louis. It sounded like last night there was some movement to possibly St. Louis. But anyway.
What about the Giants?
What about the Yankees?
Oh, no, it's not going to happen.
No, you guys are going to get the Japanese superstar. Oh,
yeah. For like next to nothing. That's going to be awesome. They get him.
Throws 100 miles an hour, hits 350.
That would be interesting no matter where he goes because he's an amazing pitcher and an amazing hitter. Obviously in the National League you can use him, but it'll be interesting to see if the Yankees got him to DH him 4 days and then pitch him on the fifth day and then not use a DH on that fifth day when he's pitching.
That'd be cool.
That'd be pretty interesting. When's the last time that's ever happened? Has it ever happened?
I don't remember. What would happen if Babe Ruth played today?
Yeah, well, he's the Japanese Babe Ruth. That's what they say. So it'll be interesting to see.
Well, if he goes to the Yankees, hopefully he's not that good.
Well, I hope he's that good. We'll see if he goes to the Yankees. Who knows? But, you know, the Yankees, they got, you know, Tanaka and they got Matsui that are in his ear. So we'll see if it works
out. What about CeCe?
CeCe, the rumor is that he wants to stay. We'll see. I mean, you know, he'd be great with that in that rotation. We'll see.
Fifth man?
Well, fifth, sixth. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. If CC has to be more than fourth, if it'd be like third or second, we have a problem.
No.
Just saying. Yeah, come on.
Love CC.
I do. I like CC too. All right, let's just change topics here. UVM men's basketball.
We can get off baseball?
Well, I mean, I'm,
thank God.
I mean, I'm just saying these.
It's winter.
I know it's winter, but these are important points.
Yeah.
This stuff's important.
Yes.
New manager for the Yankees?
Not important.
It's very important.
Red Sox fan.
Stop it.
Okay.
Don't you want to know who you got to compete against at least? It was important to me to think.
We got to compete against ourselves every day just to get better. Oh, it's not about the other team; it's about what we do.
God, You know that's not true.
Yeah, that's true.
All right.
Okay.
UVM men's basketball is white hot.
Oh, big one.
White hot. Yep. So exciting. So basically, let's go ahead and recap this week. Yep. They go down and they play Richmond.
Who's a very, very, very good team.
Very talented on the road.
Right.
Looks like a really good crowd there.
Mm-hmm.
UVM did not play their best game. A lot of strange turnovers that you don't see very often out of this UVM basketball team. Not great perimeter defense, and I thought they looked pretty poor at times inside. But man, every time they needed a shot, they got it. And how good was Ernie Duncan? I said this 2 weeks ago. He is the guy that's going to stir the drink there. Ernie Duncan's the man. When he plays like that, no one's beating them.
Right. Well, you know, again, he is so good from the outside. And if he's shooting the ball like that, okay, so now you got to push out on him. That leaves it open for the big guys, Trey Bell Haynes, to get in the lane. They just, again, but we were talking about it off air. They haven't played their best game together yet.
They haven't.
And that's what's scary. They're finding a way to win games against really good opponents, and they're not doing it clicking on all cylinders.
655-6672 if you want to join the conversation, or text us on the Town Fair Tire text line to the same number, 802-655-6672. Now they go to play the Bison. They play Bucknell.
Yep.
A 3-5 basketball team, but a very good basketball team. And we all understand that. These mid-major to low-major teams that have records that are 3-5, 500, are good. They're playing great, 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 great basketball teams. But big challenge tonight for the Cats.
Huge challenge. You know, they just, Bucknell just lost at St. Joe's, who's very good. And they didn't shoot the ball well. Bucknell, I think, a three-point shooting team that was like 6 or 5 for 27. So that's a little unnerving as they come back home. They've had a couple of injuries, but they're getting healthy. They've got the returning player of the year who's 6'10". Got another big guy they should have beat. I think it was Notre Dame last year in the first round of the NCAA tournament. And they bring back a lot of returners from that team. So this is, tonight, and then Tuesday they turn around and go right to Marquette, which is on national TV. Just really like a huge, couple of days. And then, after that, come home from Marquette and let's go down to Northeastern, who's underrated. And then you come home on that Monday and you got the court dedication to Coach Brennan and play Siena. A whirlwind over the next 9 days for the Catamounts.
And I want to get into that Coach Brennan dedication. We're going to talk to Bob Ryan next segment. You know who Bob Ryan is.
Yeah,
legendary Boston Globe reporter, ESPN TV person. He's going to join us. We're going to talk some basketball with him. You know, the thing I like about this UVM team, Bernie, most importantly for me, actually, is how they finish games.
They
always find a way. They make the big shot. They have the big stop. They get the big rebound. They make the free throw. I know that we talked, Cat Country was all up in arms a couple weeks ago when they were playing, who was the first round game, Bradley, and it was a tough match for them. Who's really good. And, UVM didn't play particularly well, but they just find ways to win. And what you're seeing against all these good teams, including Kentucky, by the way, and nobody remembers the Kentucky game. Everyone talks about how good they played so well in the second half.
Right. That was the only game they haven't found a way to win a close one.
And I think more importantly, though, but they forced Kentucky to do something special to beat them.
Right.
I mean, if you remember the last play against Kentucky, I can't believe that Kentucky was savvy enough to even see the play. But UVM ran this really great play where they played the inbounds to the strong side. They flared for the 3-point on the weak side, and the Kentucky kid was there. I mean, that was it was great scouting or just great defense, but they made Kentucky make a play to beat them. That says everything you need to know about this UVM team.
Right. And again, I think, Peyton Henson, who I think is so vital, hasn't played great. He seems, like he's kind of stuck in third and a half gear. He hasn't gotten into that fourth, fifth gear. Anthony Lamb has been up and down a little bit, was a beast against Richmond, was a beast against Northern Kentucky, but has struggled in a couple of games. And you sit and you're thinking, oh, Anthony, he's played 36 games.
I know.
37 games.
You forget because he's a sophomore.
Yeah.
He's just a baby.
Right.
Yeah.
You look at Everett Duncan, didn't play last year. He's still learning. Thank God Trey Bell Haynes has been Trey Bell Haynes.
But I'm going to say this. Are we on the text line here? Doug and Heinsberg said, this Catamount team reminds me of the 1990s Pistons Bad Boys team. You can plan for one or two, but the rest of the team will eat you up if you do focus on them. We appreciate the text, Doug. Thanks. Keep listening, buddy.
Yeah, that's a great analogy.
Except I can say this. The UVM team is much nicer kids than that UVM, the Bad Boys were.
off the court. Yeah. The Pistons were nice.
Come on. Yeah, okay. Yeah, Bill Laimbeer, Rick Mahorn. Dennis
Rodman, John Sally.
John Sally, yeah. Joe Dumars was a good guy.
Vinny Johnson.
The microwave. That team was great. I used to love their coach.
Chuck Daly.
Chuck Daly. That was a great team.
Yeah.
But yeah,
and then they had the great Chuck Nevin on the end of the bench.
That was a great team. And they used to own, and as a Bulls fan growing up, they used to own Michael back in the day.
Just for a couple years.
Until they figured it out.
Yeah.
Then it was great.
Yeah.
But the other, but again, he's right. And you're right. I mean, this UVM team has just got, they've got so many weapons and they're deep.
Like right. And they're still trying to figure out the depth.
Exactly.
Other than Drew Urquhart coming off the bench, you know, the young guys, Skylar Nash, Steph Smith, Cam Ward, they're starting to hit their strides. They all make a couple of plays a game.
Let me ask you this question.
Okay.
And this is pie in the sky stuff. Because, you know, nationally, they're getting a lot of pub. I mean, people are talking about this basketball team. They really are. I mean, let's be honest here.
Yep.
I mean, we're not talking every time you put on a sports show, ESPN, Fox, whatever. They're not saying it. But when Vermont's name comes up, people are impressed.
Yes.
If Vermont was to do what I asked you a couple of weeks ago, and I think you said the highest you thought they could get was an 11.
Yes.
But let's say that they win today. You know, they beat Siena. They've got Marquette. You knock off Marquette.
And they still have to go to St. Bonaventure,
right.
Who beat Maryland this
exactly.
year.
Exactly. So they go out and they win all these games. Or they win all but one. Let's say they lose to Marquette but beat everybody else.
Okay.
Then they run through the America East. They win the tournament. That, you know, now here we go. How high, Bernie?
I don't think they'll be that high because the ranking of the conference won't be as high. I just think with all the conferences, they'll be lower, and that's going to hurt them.
Right.
And I still don't think, you know, I still think you're going to always look at a 12 seed.
Well, you take what you can get, but boy, I'll tell you this.
Let's
team,
go, man. Yeah, I'll take this team against anybody.
And before we go to break, let me just say this. Do yourself a favor this year and make sure you go watch this group. I mean, you don't understand the gem you have. We've been blessed here in Burlington, in the Burlington area, to have some great teams that have played here, some exciting teams, great personalities. But this team right here, this team's legit.
Yep.
Not that the other ones weren't. They've all been very good. But this team right here is nationally legit, and they're in your backyard. So if you can hear my voice in Vermont, if you're an hour away, hour and a half away, 2 hours away, 5 minutes away, find a way. Get yourself to Patrick Jim. Because my boy Bernie probably be in a suit and tie in the sideline on ESPN3. That's good enough for me. But tell him to get you that microphone with the ESPN. I want to get a picture with that. We'll be right back.
Another day of sports talk in the Champlain Valley. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Oh, I love it. Don't stop. Okay, stop. We got plenty.
One of the things I know that gets you excited, Bernie, is Boston Celtics basketball.
Yes, it does.
Sitting at 19-4. What a story they've kind of become, in my opinion, with the big injury to Hayward. I mean, that's...
Yep.
You thought when that happened that the Celtics would be decent, but it's been amazing what they've been able to do this season. You must be psyched.
I am. I mean, they're just, they're so good, and it's just amazing what they've been able to do, and the young kids stepping up, and just an exciting time.
Well, who better to talk to Boston sports and national sports, if you want to talk about that, than the great Boston Globe sports writer Bob Ryan joins us now on the TikTok Heroes guest line on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Good morning, Bob. Thanks for taking the time today, pal.
Well, good morning to you. You're welcome. Very much so.
So let's get right into the Celtics. Are you surprised where they're at today?
Yes. No, everyone would be surprised that they are this good. I thought they would be good still, that they would be competitive, that they would win. Let's say they won 53 last year. I thought that a Hayward-less team could win about 48 or 9 and get a fourth or fifth seed. And that would be a successful season. And you say, hey, we postponed the big thrust until next year. Well, they're ahead of schedule for a variety of reasons, and one of the things I think we'll start off with is that they were fortunate enough that they had depth at that position, because people forgot, a lot of fans forgot, that they had Marcus Morris coming and that he would help. People were more fixated on the fact that they lost Avery Bradley rather than that they were gaining Marcus Morris and that he would really help as much as he has. And I thought that would be it. But no way did I think that they would be sitting with the best record, no.
Bob, do you think Danny Ainge gets enough credit for what he's done? A few years ago, I can remember people calling for his job, but what he's been able to build in Boston through the draft, and not mm-hmm. by, you know, and not, I mean, obviously now Kyrie's there, but he's done it with kids. I mean, he's got to get a lot of, he's got to get some props for that.
He should. He probably won't get the full credit he deserves for whatever reason, but I don't think he's worried about that. I think all he's caring about is trying to do his job and bring another championship. And I think that he looks at his, I'm guessing, I mean, I know Danny, but I mean, we're not intimates, but I know him. But I think his constituency is basically two, and that's Rick Grosbeck and Steve Pagliuca, his owners. And he's worried about their approval and if they're happy with this job, and they should be. It's 15 years now, believe it or not.
Wow, it is crazy.
And, he's not worried about outside pressure at all or outside. He's very comfortable in his own skin, and he's very confident in his abilities.
And so, Bob, you know, we talk about this team that's 19-4 and how quickly Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are growing up right in front of our eyes. But the person who's really impressed me the most this year has been Al Horford, just in terms of the way he helps orchestrate, you know, the offense and the half court set. You know, talk to him and about him. And do you think that his being there for the second year is making this adjustment that much better for him to being so successful this year?
I'm not sure about the second part necessarily. I think overall familiarity of all of them with each other is going to help. Al Horford is a pro's pro, and people were expecting when you sign a guy at that level of contract, people are looking for numbers. The average fan is looking for, you know, this guy he should be averaging 25 and, you know, 12 or something, and that's not his game necessarily. His game is an all around game. He fills in those up the box score. He's an excellent passer and facilitator. Yeah, I wish he were a more aggressive rebounder, but he is who he is, and he's going to average 7 or 8. He's not going to average 11 or 12, but he's going to give you 5 or 6 assists, and some nights maybe 8 or 9, which is guys in his position don't do. And he has made himself into a really reliable three-point shooter in this world of three-point shooting. He came into the league a number of years ago, and that wasn't even part of his repertoire at all, and look at how reliable he's become. And defensively, he's so smart. He's always in the right place at the right time. He directs traffic, and I'm not there every day, of course, but I'm confident from what I hear. He's an excellent leader in that locker room, and worth every penny they're paying him.
And how about, you know, now is this, you know, this Celtics team? Do you see Danny doing anything to bolster the roster to continue to make this run, you know, for a championship this season?
I hope so, because there is a glaring need. There is nobody coming off that bench who puts down on this IRS form under occupation, registered jump shooter. They need a lighted up scorer off the bench to be whole. I think with that kind of person, I would give them a shot at anything this year. Absent that, their offense is challenged. We know that this run has been built on defense. Not on offense, that even the night they beat the Warriors, they did so with 33% shooting. You can't subsist that way and go all the way, or even go to the conference finals, I don't think. They need to find another scorer, I believe. Now, Danny has this, I believe it's an $8.5 million exception due to the Hayward situation that they've been granted. If Santa Claus could bring me a gift for them, I would find a way to steal Lou Williams from the Clippers. That's
really
the ideal. But whoever the next best thing to Lou Williams is that might be available without disrupting the rest of your roster, that's what I would like to find before they go to war. Bad terminology these days. Before they get into the playoffs. They're going to have a fine regular season, but they're not all the way there yet, and I think that's their biggest glaring need.
Just for the record, Bob, our listeners are used to bad, you know, bad grammar on our show. Usually it's me that's screwing it up.
It's taste.
Yes. Exactly. Yes. Yeah, cultural taste. Sorry.
Legitimate references available to us.
Hey, I got a question for you, that kind of a worldly in NBA. What's your take on the one-and-done rule in college basketball?
You know, I just got through reading Mike DeCourcy's very scorching, I call to your attention, go look it up. I found it on Twitter. Jay Billis posted it, and it made me rethink my process. My gut feeling is it's horrible. It's bad for both entities. It's bad for college basketball, and it's bad for NBA basketball. I think to me, it's a very simple solution. Very simple. Let them come. Let anybody come. But they have to understand that they'll be part of a 15-man roster, and you might spend 2 or 3 years in a D-League apprenticeship. And if you don't like that, G-League now, excuse me, don't come. period. Go to Europe. Go wherever you want. They should be free to come. I don't see why there should be a restriction. I just think that they have to understand that just because you're drafted doesn't mean you're walking into the starting lineup or even on the active roster right away. But I would prefer that college be populated by people who would like to be there. I don't like to hear, we know what a fraudulent thing is. And also, this is not your question, but combined with this absurd 50-year transfer rule, I think it's hurt college basketball.
Bob, so, up here in Catamount Country, they're off to another good start college basketball wise. They're having a nice court dedication to Tom Brennan on Monday, December 11th against Siena. Again, just for the listeners, you've had some time to spend with Tom Brennan and follow the teams. Just for these younger fans and listeners, talk to them about what TB should mean to the community and what he's done to put Vermont basketball on the map.
Well, I mean, he's arguably the most famous person in the state, and more than second only to Senator Sanders, of course, what the program has become now is it's been maintained and elevated to an even higher degree by Coach Brady. But the fact is that Tom Brennan set the table here. He created the phenomenon that has become Vermont basketball. And I remember we first met in 2000 when I came up and to do a story on him. I had met him when he was coach of Yale, but I didn't know him. And I spent some time and doing at the radio. I did the whole radio show with him in the morning, and then he actually wrote a poem during the show, which I still have, about me. And we became friends. We hit it off immediately and became friends. And I'll be there on the 11th. And
oh, great.
And he's an incalculable importance to Vermont basketball. This is such an appropriate honor to give him, to put his name on that court. There would be no current Vermont basketball. His great goal and desire was to get in one time, get in the tournament. And David Hayne made that famous shot at BU.
Yep.
I was there.
Yep.
And the first year of the tournament, they got that terrible travel circumstance, and they had to go to New Mexico, I believe, and they had terrible travel and no shot of anything. And then to see him win a game and win that Syracuse game was the culmination of it all, of course, in his last year. But I can't say enough about Tom Brennan. He's one of my favorite people.
And following up with that, I mean, Bernie and I often talking. Obviously, we're here in Burlington. How special this program's been for so long. I mean, when you look at a mid-major team, and I guess Vermont at one point you'd look at as a low mid-major team, to be as competitive as they've been for so many years. I mean, Tom Brennan really was the godfather of that. But I mean, how impressed are you, from someone that's around college basketball a lot, Bob, that UVM's been able to create this program? Because now we're not talking about a low mid-major. We're talking about a high mid-major in talent.
No, I know. They're established in that regard. And this team might be one of the as good as any they've ever had, from what I gather. Tom thinks it is. He's very excited about this team, even more so that, as much as his last great team in 05. But, it is remarkable. I mean, let's face it, you don't have a recruiting base, period. It was, if anything, a hockey school. I mean, dropped football years ago. It was down to football and, down to basketball and hockey. And hockey took precedence, and rightfully so, in the climate and in the area. But to make Vermont basketball into something at this level is a remarkable achievement, and everyone should be proud of this. And I love going to the games there, and I hope this doesn't sound in any remote way condescending. No, as a matter of fact, it's going to be the highest praise I can heap. When I go to a game at Patrick Gym, I feel like it's a townie team. It's more like Vermont. If they should have VHS, Vermont High School. It's a townie team. It's a better feeling. It's a different feeling than when you go to games like I go to my alma mater at BC. It's a very different feeling, and it's a great feeling. I love going to games there.
Bob, what is the one rule that you think could help improve, could be changed to help improve the college game?
Well, the best thing for all of basketball would be to get rid of the three-point shot, but we don't have by far enough time to go into that one today. Get rid of timeouts. I swear to God that I'd be so draconian as to say you got one timeout per half, coach. Use it wisely. The end of a college game, it's everyone talks about it. Nobody can do anything about it because you can't get into the heads of the coaches to know when it's time to quit. 10 points down in a minute, don't be calling timeout, go home, just because once upon a time North Carolina was down 8 with 17 seconds and beat Duke, or vice versa, about 20 years ago, I'm telling you, when these things happen, I cringe, because I know it means that all across America, coaches are going to take heart and know to think the game isn't over when it's over. the fouling thing, somehow figure out a way to penalize people and discourage them from automatically fouling. I don't know. The end of a game is a real problem. And it doesn't exist that way in the NBA, but it is a real curse on college basketball.
Bob, thanks so much for your time. Happy holidays. Hopefully we can talk to you down the road. And maybe we'll see you December 11th. That'll be great.
I'll be there.
All right.
Okay.
The great
bye-bye.
Bob Ryan, Boston Globe sports writer. I could talk to him all day.
Of course.
All day.
His
stories are great. I will say this. His stories about Tom Brennan are great, but nothing beats the story you have about Tom Brennan. The snowstorm when he had to walk up to the game and he walked into the fountain.
Yep. He fell and he's lying there and just was like, what am I doing?
What am I doing here?
And Mike Bob said, the second most popular guy in the state.
Yeah, really impressive. And what he's been able to what he created at UVM to see what we have today is very special.
Yeah, and it's crazy. Like, he first came up to Vermont when he recruited my brother to go to College of William & Mary. And the old A&W Root Beer, that's right down the road.
Yep.
Right here. Took me there for lunch when I was in second grade and just has always been a great person. And he's just so lucky that we are a part of his life because he's that great.
He is. And I can say this, he is number two in terms of popularity in Vermont.
He used to sit in your chair right there.
But I know who number three is.
Back when this station was a rock and roll station.
Sat in my chair?
That chair right
there. I'm sitting in this chair?
Yeah, he sat there
I'm
more than you
TV's
have.
TV's chair? Good for me. But more importantly, the third most famous person in Vermont.
Dave Hunter.
You seen to my right.
Yeah.
The Saplicky sandwich. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, get your fantasy football questions. Call us now at 655-6672 or text the text line at 802-655-6672. Jake Ken coming at you next. I mean, you can play any kind of music you want, but it's not the gross kind. You know, it's like it's your creepy voice that's introducing me. I don't like that. I want something like, you know.
Well, you don't like
for
that.
Vermont Mortgage, number two, Jeff Paul. And then play something cool. Get me fired up.
What's wrong with porno music from the 70s?
Because it's gross. Just like you insinuating that's what you're playing is gross. Period.
But you know what's music to my ears?
What?
Because I love our next guest.
Yeah.
Jake.
Oh, yeah, we love Jake. Can't get enough of it.
No.
All right. On the TikTok Joe's guest line, get the lines lit up right now. 802-655-6672. 802-655-6672. Or you can text us on the Town Fair Tire text line at 655-6672. It is about to be playoff time. I think this is the last week of the regular season, at least in my league. And I have to win.
Most leagues.
You know, and Bernie was just explaining what has to happen. You know, so there's a lot of weird things, like the comet has to go over.
I got to win.
Yeah.
Another guy's got to lose. Another guy's got to win. And then I got to have more total points.
So this guy's got to win. You got to win. This guy's got to win. This guy's got to lose. There's got to be five more points than this guy over here. But this guy's got to lose by 5 points. Maybe you got to win by six. Kind of like one of those things.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that. See, to me, I would just be like, you know what? I'm going to look at it on Monday morning.
No, because I'm the commissioner and I have to play through all these through all these scenarios and tiebreakers.
Well, you really are a champ. You're a pro. And that's why you're the third most famous person in Vermont.
Not in this league. I'm not a champ.
All right, Jake Kent, good morning, buddy. How's it going today?
Guys, how you doing?
I'm just sitting here mocking Bernie.
Yeah.
I think third most famous is underselling it, but we don't have to dwell there too long.
Well, I mean, listen. I mean, the names ahead of him are pretty famous. But, you know, at least I'll tell you what, he's the most famous guy in this room. I can tell you that. Nobody has a sandwich named after him.
See? Well,
Except my dad has a – I named a sandwich after my dad at Ramonto's. The Butchie.
Well, that's nice.
Oh, it's a good
that's
sandwich,
a nice thing
too.
To do.
All right, Jake, let's get into
good
it, buddy. I thank you very much, pal. And my mother tells me that all the time. Anyway, yeah. let's get right into this. Who do we need to have this week to get our team to the playoffs?
Yeah, so playoff week, right? So in a lot of my leagues, the playoffs begin this week. So we are already in. Some people, wow. It's sort of your final weekend to get rolling. So a few things to talk about. So let's first start with that Green Bay-Tampa game. I do not see a scenario in which Brett Hundley is not a top 10 quarterback this week. So if you are looking for a quarterback to start, Tampa Bay on the road in Green Bay, after Hundley had a fantastic showing last week, I think Hundley is a guy that you can start at quarterback. If you've been streaming quarterbacks throughout the year, he is the guy for this week. In fact, I think he could be a top 5 play this week, and he's available almost everywhere. In terms of being available, I don't know if you guys play any DraftKings, but last week in the two-game slate, just the night slate, the Sunday night, Monday night slate, I played Hundley on DraftKings, 6% owned when there's only four choices, so nobody is playing Hundley. He got me within 4 points of $20,000, but that's a side story.
Ooh.
And Yeah, so Hundley is the guy to own this week, I think, at quarterback. Blake Bortles is the other guy, if you can't get Hundley, I think, is available at quarterback. Both those guys in play. And if you've been playing Matt Stafford, he gets Baltimore this week. I would not start Stafford. I'd rather have either of those guys at quarterback. At running back, we stay in the same game. Jacquizz Rodgers is probably the guy. It looks like Doug Martin is going to be out this week with a concussion issue. Green Bay giving up 90 yards on the ground basically in every single game this year. They give up a lot of points to running backs in general. They average 19 PPR fantasy points per week to running backs. So Jacquizz Rodgers is my top guy at running back. Alternatively, Devontae Booker has sort of become the lead guy for the Broncos. C.J. Anderson taking a step back. Devontae Booker played twice as many snaps the last couple of weeks. Gets a great matchup against Miami. Those are my two guys at running back. That's a lot of info, but a big week for everybody.
Mike the Cuckoo Mulcahy from Colchester wants to know, Carson Wentz or Ben Roethlisberger?
Carson Wentz and Big Ben's a good question this week. I have Carson Wentz ranked ahead of him. It's not a great matchup. Big Ben with a slightly better matchup in Cincinnati, but give me Carson Wentz if I had to pick between the two.
Tyler Kroft or Eric Ebron?
Oh, man, Ebron's so frustrating, right? Like, so he's a guy that we've been, like, waiting the whole year to have a big game, and he suffers from drops, and he's not really a vital part of the offense at times, and he has games where he sort of shows up again. I think that I would lean – gosh, that's a tough one. I think I would lean Kroft in a bad matchup, even over Ebron, who I just don't trust him. So I don't love either of those guys. If you have other options, I might look for them even creatively, like a Vernon Davis might be around, or who's another guy who might be out there? Like O.J. Howard in Tampa Bay seems to find touchdowns all the time. Like, I might rather have a pure upside guy than either of those guys, but Ebron has a better matchup. I probably would go Kroft in a significantly worse matchup.
655-6672 if you want to join the conversation. 802-655-6672 if you have a question for Jake Ken, our fantasy football guru, or you can text the question on the Town Fair Tire text line at the same number, 655-6672.
Can you trust Mr. McCaffrey this week with his shoulder injury?
Yeah, I need to read a little bit more about that injury, even tomorrow and pregame. I have not seen the latest updates on that. Maybe y'all can fill us in. It makes me nervous for sure. It's not really the week to be messing around with that kind of thing. So as involved as he is, I have to assume if he plays, the game plan is not going to change. So I think we're rolling him out there unless we hear something like, hey, he's 30%, but we're giving it a go. Or he'll be out there for a few plays. Like, if we hear that kind of thing, I'm off him. But otherwise, I assume that him being on the field is an indication that nothing's going to change, and I'm going to roll with him.
So we never ask questions about like what defense is a better defense to play this week, but I got one for you. How about I'll just ask a question for myself personally, because obviously I'm under the gun here. The Kansas City Chiefs defense at the Jets or the Rams traveling to Arizona?
Yeah, so kind of weird matchups, right? Like, both of those feel like they should be great matchups. You get the Jets or Arizona, they both feel like they should be games that we want to target. But surprisingly, the Jets continue to get it done with Robbie Anderson, and Arizona, Blaine Gabbert's been much better than expected. So the answer is I would start the Rams and hope for the best. But Blaine Gabbert much better than I thought he would be, so I don't think it's quite the upside play that it should be, but I think they're good for a couple of sacks for sure, two or three sacks. I think that they don't give up a lot of points in this game overall. So yeah, give me the Rams.
All right, Jay, give me one in a PPR league. Cook, the tight end from the Raiders, McKinnon, the running back from Minnesota, your boy Jacquizz Rodgers, or Zay Jones.
Yeah, so a lot of good names there actually, and I'm pretty happy with a lot of those plays overall. So I think that to kind of go through the list there, Oakland gets a great matchup, right? So they get Indianapolis, and it's going to be a game in
Oakland's got the Giants,
or Indianapolis. They get the Giants, and that's even better. So give me
hey yeah, wait a second, really. Yeah.
You're a little passive aggressive there, Jake.
No, it's all set up. Thank you, Bernie. No, yeah. It was, you know, Janoris Jenkins, no more, right? I mean, the team's a disaster. I think that with Michael Crabtree and Amari Cooper having problems, and Seth Roberts is probably the receiver there we look to this week, but I have to imagine that Cook is going to pick up a lot of the slack And the Giants have been bad against tight ends for a couple years now, right? So they're probably, after Cleveland and Denver, who we talk about every week, the Giants come pretty quickly on that list of teams bad against tight ends. So I think I would start Cook in that scenario, even though it's a little counterintuitive. I would likely, and give me the other names again. I'm gonna hear them again.
Yep, McKinnon, Jay Jones, or Jaquez Rogers.
Yeah, gosh, tough names. I would probably go Zay Jones. How many do you need, two or three?
Two.
Yeah, I probably would go with Cooks, and then I would probably go with Jaquez Rogers. Give me Jaquez Rogers. I think Zay Jones is very much in play again this week. We talk about him a lot. Obviously, the Patriots have improved defensively to a degree. I think that game's higher scoring than most people, so I think Zay Jones is in play. But give me, for upside, Jaquez Rogers and Cook. If you need a safer floor, give me Cook and McKinnon, who should be involved as he is most weeks.
But McKinnon doesn't get a lot of touches on the goal line, right? Isn't it more of a Murray game down on the... Yeah, that's right. That's the problem with McKinnon.
No, it's a pure PPR play, right? It's yes. Purely... We're looking for six catches for 50 yards, and if he happens to bust one, then fantastic. But give me my 11 points if I'm looking for a safe floor, and I'll go home happy, right?
All right, Jake, tell us how everybody can follow you throughout the week.
Yeah, follow me at Jake Kent VT on Twitter. The easiest way to ask questions, feel free to do that anytime, and go out there and get a win.
Hey, buddy, thanks so much for the time. Good luck this weekend. Hope the decorations went well last week, the holiday decorations that were going
on. You know, things went very well. I have a 17-foot tree in my living room right now, half lit up, and as they say in our favorite movie, a lot of sap, really full.
Yeah, a lot of sap, really full. It's not going in our – that wouldn't fit in our yard. It's not going in our yard,
Russ. That's my favorite.
It's going in our living room.
The whole movie. That's exactly right.
Hey, real quick. I got a guy, Dennis from Georgia, wants to know, Marcus Lynch, James White, or McKinnon? He needs two. I think he's playing me this week in my league, so why don't you tell him the wrong ones?
We'll mix it up on him. No, give me the names again.
Marcus Lynch, James White, or McKinnon?
Oh, Marshawn Lynch, it must be.
Oh, yeah, Marshawn Lynch. What do you, Marcus Lynch? No wonder you're in last place in our league.
I'm sure it's autocorrect at its best, so... give me McKinnon. Give me not Marshawn Lynch, right? So that's right. The answer for me.
All right, perfect. Thanks, man. Have a great
matchup, but no thanks. Yeah.
Have a great weekend, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Listen, last week of fantasy football, I'm telling you, if it wasn't for fantasy football, I would be out of the NFL. I'm all in with my fantasy team because I'm this close to making the playoffs. After starting 1-5, I could win my division, and I could be like, you know, I don't know how my seed will work. I don't know how it works out, but I'll be number one in my division.
So let me ask you this.
Sure.
You lose.
Probably.
You're out.
I'm out. I don't know if I'm out or not. I don't know how it works.
Let's say you lose and you're out.
Okay, fair enough.
Will you watch the NFL?
I'll pass. Well, I will because of our show. I'll pay attention for our show. I'm trying to be professional here. But I will not be as engaged as I normally am. The product isn't great.
So then wouldn't you be cheating the show because you're not as engaged?
No, I'll be engaged for the show. I'll be engaged.
No, I mean, you're not watching the NFL, so you're not going to be up to speed.
No, I'll be up to speed. I'm just not going to be as fired up about it as I normally used to be.
You're not going to be fired up about Geno?
No, I'm definitely not fired up about Geno. I'm intrigued to watch little Geno. I'm kind of intrigued to see what this show is going to be like in LA next, or where are they? Oakland next week? This week? Not going to be a lot of fun.
Why don't you just switch teams?
I'm never doing that. Are you out of your mind?
What's wrong with you?
You'd never jump off the wagon, ever.
You're going to leave the Yankees?
Well, it's baseball. It's different.
Oh, it's baseball.
That's different.
Get out of here.
Are you going to jump off the Rams when they're not in it? You were with them last year.
I've been
terrible
with them since 1967.
So what do you think? Bernie and I are some kind of like non-loyal pink hat fans?
Well,
you're the one that's all over the place, pal. You know, you're a Yankees fan, you're a Rams fan.
Yeah, but he stayed true to him, though.
I'm
never rooting for a team from Los Angeles. No way.
Or St. Louis. Wherever they're from.
I'm rooting for the Giants.
Baby.
We're Giant fans here, baby. Big blue all the way. We'll be back.
Horniest
sometime
team
in
football.
The 2017, 2000, 2027 year. We're going to be right back at it.
Yeah. Jerry Reese's fault.
Eli.
Oh, stop it. We hadn't fought.
Good time we have a break time. Yep. You're lucky that there's a hard, what they call this, a hard break.
Did I mention to you that when you were complaining about Joe Girardi and say you were all upset at him that he got fired?
I wasn't upset. I was upset. Yeah, I was upset.
You were upset. You were upset with Joe.
Yeah, I was.
He got fired.
Yes.
And now, look what you've done to Eli.
See, who's going to tell me I don't have any pull around here?
You're pretty powerful.
Yeah, listen. This microphone and this mind. It's not that I have any pull. Just that I'm very smart. That's all.
No.
Very smart.
No.
We'll be right back.
Jeff Paul, Bernie Siplicki.
Call me daddy.
This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Another great show in the books, Bern.
It is.
At least in our opinions.
Yes. Just ask us, right?
Exactly.
But we do. I do have to thank Monica again for the chili and the snapware, not Tupperware.
Yeah, yeah, dude, I need that back.
And
she must really like you guys, even give you the snapware.
Yeah, but, you know, you just gave her cell phone number to Dave.
I did.
So we could say thank you.
Right.
I'm saying it over the air.
Might be a big mistake.
Right. So, Monica, when your phone goes bing at 3 o'clock in the morning from Dave, don't look at it, okay?
I'm just telling you this right now. Monica is no, like, you know, like shy gal, okay? So you do something that's going to upset her, she's just going to come punch you right in the face. I'm just telling you right now.
Spanking galore.
It's going to be straight Michael Crabtree on you. I'm just saying. And today I didn't even get my fruit cup. I was all fired up about my fruit cup. I go there and they were out of them.
I like what you did, though.
Pint glass size.
I know.
I came in with these little...
You called the good audible like Eli would do, but doesn't get a chance anymore.
Eli, good audible for Eli. Yeah. Give me a break. Hey, what a show we had. I want to thank Patricia Traynor. She's the senior editor of Inside Football.
What a great interview that was.
It was. And it was passionate. You can tell she cares deeply. And we do care deeply for Eli, too. It's just time for a new quarterback. That's all.
Hater.
Want to thank Bob Ryan, Boston Globe sports writer. I'm going to tell you something. I could talk to him all day. I mean, I always try to pick when we do get him on. We've had him twice now. We've been blessed to do that. I try to put him on our biggest segment because you can talk about so many things with the guy.
And I just can't wait to run into him at the TB court dedication.
I'd love to introduce myself to him face to face as well. And then we have Jake Kent, fantasy football guru, gave us great insight. Thanks for getting involved on the text line as well. Guys, again, we're here every Saturday at Sports Saturday. We're here from 10 a.m. to noon here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Remember, you can stream us live as well on ESPN.com, and you can always get all of our podcasts on the podcast page as well on the ESPN.com.
Both interviews are up.
And Dave's already got them up. Stay tuned here. We've got the Bruins and, is it Philadelphia today?
Yep.
The Flyers and the Bruins are going to be here at 12:30. UVM and Bucknell tonight. The Catamounts going for the 7th win. How many wins in a row is this for them?
7, because they lost the first game.
Oh, that's right. It'll be their 7th win in a row.
Kentucky.
That's right. Stay.
Come on, buddy.
It's been a long week for me. Stay tuned, guys. We love you. Have a great weekend. We'll be here next Saturday because we're living the dream and we're taking you with us. We're Sports Saturday. We'll talk to you later.